Bezos Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Yud Aleph and Mishlei with the Bir Hagra. And we are beginning it with a very, very fundamental Yisoid in Yiddishkeit, which I think, if you are allowing me to connect it to Parshas Ekev, the Pasuk says, V'hoya Ekev Tishmu'un, and of course the Mefarshim Kota Chazal, Ekev, those are the things that Adam Dosh Ba'akevav. Now, we're used to thinking that Dvarim Shadosh Ba'akevav might mean something that's not that significant, but nevertheless the Torah is makbid on it. And people, because it's not so significant to them, I would conjure up Echveis, the Netilas Yadayim in the morning, is it on the both hands, first one hand three times, and then on the other hand, or Beseirigin? So this might be something that Adam is Dosh Ba'akevav, but we are talking here now about something that people are Dosh Ba'akevav, which are Dvarim Ha'imdim Beruma Shel Olam. These are things that are critically important. And I would almost go to the extreme of saying that you could have something that Adam is Dosh Ba'akevav, certainly some people, and are completely blind to the fact that they are not from Eden as a result. They're just not from. And you know, in Europe, they would say, in Russia, in Poland, the Yiddish expression, Ayid dav zayn elch, agalach is from. And the import of it, of course, is that Ehrlichkeit and Frumkeit are very, very different. Now, in that expression, there's a reason, a deliberate reason to distinguish between the two. Frumkeit is doing the chukim, and Ehrlichkeit is doing the ben adam lechaveiro. But the truth of the matter is that in terms of our fundamental havana, Frumkeit and Ehrlichkeit are one and the same, and the minute that you try to differentiate between the two and separate them, we are in trouble. In general, I once wrote a whole kuntras, and the purpose of the kuntras was to show that when you are differentiating between Ben Adam Lamokum and Ben Adam Lechaveiro, which we find in the Mefarshim quite a bit, it is only for the chumrah of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Every Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is Bein Adam L'Mokom. The minute the Torah is makbid on something, it becomes Bein Adam L'Mokom. There's no question about it. So how could you possibly say that a person is over on something only Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? And there's a corollary beyond that. There's an inyan of Nimsachem V'Seichel Tov Bein Elikim V'Adam. This for Adam that's added to Be'enei Elikim is strange, because if we're okay in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what difference does it make? And the answer is that how you deal with people is not just a question of what you do, but also the impression that you make, because a great yesod in Yiddishkeit is Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. And Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is very often in the eyes of the observer. And before I go even further, I want to make a ha'ara on what I just said. If a person, l'moshel, dresses like a chosid, and he's dressed impeccably, meaning that he's clean and he's neat, but he has curled payas going down both cheeks, and somebody else looks at him and says, "Feh, what kind of a person walks around with curled payas?" That is not a chil Hashem. That is a kiddush Hashem. The fact that the person is so krum that he interprets the payas in the wrong way, that is irrelevant. There's never a halacha that because we behave a certain way, al pi dinei Torah, and we are makbid and machmir in inyonim because the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants us to be, and this is the tachlis of our Shulchan Aruch, there's no way that that could be misconstrued by others because they're krum or stupid or blind as a chilul Hashem. The chilul Hashem is only when the Torah does not warrant it and the Torah does not appreciate it, and we behave that way anyhow, and people find it to be offensive. Now, I've often said that when a person double parks, he's in danger of losing his Olam Haba. Not all of his Olam Haba, but a shtickle Olam Haba. He's in danger of stepping into the hole of Gehenna. Why? Because that fellow who's driving in the narrow street and needs now to get past you, And he knows that the person that's driving this car, either because somebody's sitting in the car or because he just saw you go out or go in, or because he knows because of the neighborhood or the store that most likely you're a frum Jew. And because of you and your double-parked car, because you need that convenience of stopping in that spot, which of course is always only for a minute, which turns out to be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or even an hour, but it's always only for a minute, that's the good ones. The bad ones say, what do you care? There's plenty of room. And the real Rishayim say, it's my street, so you can't go through, so you'll wait. So there are three madregas in this. One madrega is that I'll only be there for a minute, and it's not going to shter anybody. By the time I come back, nobody's going to be passed by. And the second madrega is there's plenty of room. And the third madrega is I don't care about anybody or anything, because the ani is so fat and the concern for oneself is so blinding that there's no room for anybody else on earth. Now, the last person, there's no way that he could be a frum person, because that kind of ani cannot possibly tolerate. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, "Ein ani v'hu yecholim lodo b'kfifa achas." It's not b'kfifa achas, it's because this person's already thrown the Rebbeinu Shlom out of that kfifa. There's no room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's no room for me and you. The Rebbeinu Shlom is saying it. The person already said it first. And then the middle person, this is what I wanted to concentrate on for a second. The fact that I have to be matriach myself and worry about damage to my car and damage to the other person's car or the car that's parked on the other side because it's so narrow, that akmas nefesh, that nervin that is caused on that person's account is a source for chilul Hashem. Because you see, the person who drives gives a krecht, sometimes a little krecht, sometimes a big krecht, sometimes he curses. But it's not the curse, it's the hergish behind the curse, that how could you do this to me? And because it is an avla, and because it's forbidden, this becomes a chilul Hashem. And it doesn't matter what the person is doing. All right, there are yotzim and aklal. If a person's in hatzolah and every second counts, obviously that's not going to be a consideration. Because then again, it's a mitzvah. And for a mitzvah, there's no such thing as a mitzvah bringing a chilul Hashem. But why the other person doesn't understand or misconstrues or whatever, that's not negeya. If the halacha says that you have to double park right here, then you double park. But if it's for your convenience, no matter what it is, yichap a mincha, it's close to the shkia, there's no such thing. So you should have davened mincha earlier. It's not the same as the pikuach nefesh at the moment of a hatzolah car. For example, a person finished his hatzolah call and he's back and he's taking his time, so he decides to go and have himself a soda with a pizza because he's starving, hungry, didn't eat a whole day. He can't leave his car double parked because it was already double parked beheter. That person that does not take into account the nerves and the concern for the fellows driving through, who may not be such a baki or a mumche in driving, which I think applies to most of us. I mean, it certainly applies to myself. I have a lot of nerve when I have to go through between two cars. And I don't see why I should have those nerven. All right, I'm a rab, so I'm a chuyiv to be meichel the other person, and I'm certainly not going to curse him. But I feel bad. I feel uncomfortable. I feel distressed. Why should I feel that way? So, but what if it's a person that's not so much malamed lekav zchus and then doesn't really care to be kind and generous and meichel him? So there's a built-in chil Hashem to this. And then of course, I'm only going to be there for a minute. First of all, where's the hatter for the minute? But besides that, everyone who has any mayach bekot kodle knows that statistically that's an absurd statement. Nothing takes only a minute. Unless you're dropping a letter in the mailbox, maybe. But that little vignette is nothing compared to what we're going to be talking about today. Today we're talking about false weights and measures. So let's take a look at the Makairis first, and perhaps the most astonishing of all the Makairis is the Chazal, which Rashi quotes, Dafka on the Pasuk of Zocha Eis Asher Asolucha Amalek. So let's take a look. And here you have a very remarkable thing, an astonishing thing. Which, to be frank with you, I never paid too much attention to the way that Rashi simply introduces this in the Zocha Eis Asher Asolucha Amalek without any embellishment. So the Pasuk says, of course, Zocha Eis Asher Asolucha Amalek, even though there's a pay, right before that, as you see in the psukim before, Ki toyavas Hashem aleikecha kolaisa eila kolaisa avel, and then it says Zoches Hashem solocha amalek, but there's a juxtaposition. The Rabbeinu Bachaya here, before we go to Rashi, makes a fantastic point in the Seder HaDvarim. Take a look, Dvarim Perek Chofei Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk says as follows. Two negatives. Lo yiyeh bikischa even va'oven g'doylo k'tano. You're not supposed to hold in your pocket. And Chazal will tell us, even if you never use it, you're not allowed to have false weights and measures in your pocket. So you have a big stone and a small stone, and you have a big eifa, a big measure, a big pot, a basket that measures, and a small one. And both of them are supposed to be a certain weight. One is more and one is less. Or one is big and one is small. It's supposed to be a certain measure. So the lav is lo yiyeh bikischon, lo yiyeh b'beischon. You're not supposed, it doesn't say don't use it. Of course, if you use it, you're a gazlan. But it says don't even have it. And then the pasuk should have said what it says in pasuk tezayin. On these two lavim, lo yiyeh bikischon and lo yiyeh b'beischon, it should have said, Ki toyavas Hashem aleikecha kolaisa eila kolaisa yovel. And then it should have said the positive. Even shleim of atzedek yiyeloch, eifa shleim of tzedek loch, l'man ayuchad yomecha al adoma, shashem lekecha noisein loch. For two reasons. First of all, that's the proper Seder. First, the negatives and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels about it. And then the positive and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels about it. Furthermore, it's always good to end in inyan b'chitoiv. So since you're going to mention the positive anyhow, and you're going to say, l'man yarichun yomecha la'adoma, then why isn't that the last pasuk of this segment? Instead, the Torah postpones kiso avas Hashem alekecha after Evan Shleim of Atzedek. Why? Says the Rabbeinu Bachai that the reason is because the Torah wants to juxtapose, it wants to bind the words kiso avas Hashem alekecha kolos eila with zocha es asher asolach amalek. Rashi, without going into any of this, and the pasuk zoches asher asolach amalek, if you look at Chazal and the different medrashim, there are hundreds of things to say. Of all the things that there were to say on the words zocher es asher asolach amalek, Rashi felt compelled to bring this Chazal. Im shakarta b'midos u'b'mishkolos, have a doyeg migirui ha'oyev, then you have to worry that the enemy is going to come to your gates. Shenemar moizne mirma toyavas Hashem, uksiv basrei, boz odoin viyavoy kolon. So this is our pasuk. Our pasuk says that from moizne mirma, from treacherous scales, in other words, where your scales are false and your weights and measures are not accurate, comes the enemy. And that's the Vayovay Amalek that comes right after Ki Toavas Hashem, B'kischa Evan V'Oven. That's what you have to remember. Now, what is astonishing to me, besides the fact that of all the Chazals, Rashi felt compelled to mention this, is that Rashi says, Migiru Ha'oyev, it's almost as if Zoches Hashelcho Amalek disembowels it of Amalek specifically. Which, of course, many other Mefarshim who still speak B'dayma to Rashi include, as we will see, or you can see for yourselves in the Al-Sheikh and the Malbim. I find it remarkable that Rashi says so little here when he is quoting this Medrash, precisely because what we want here is to understand that the Zohar connection, he doesn't even say because the Psukim are back-to-back. He's as limited and as confining to the point as could be. And his point is, you bring the enemy to your gates by false weights and measures. Now, we have all kinds of things, Al-Mav, Da'aretz, and we have Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Dom, and these are very heavy things. Sinas Chinam is very, very heavy too in its own way. False weights and measures, but not false weights and measures. You can't even have them in your pocket. And if you do, and never use them, it still brings Kiru Ha'ayev, Im Shakarta, B'midas, and Mishkolis, from the Pasuk is Mashma, even if you didn't do it. Because it says, L'yeh B'kischa, L'yeh B'veischa. And that's Kisavas Hashem. Koloisei Ovel. That itself is Ovel. If that's the case, that brings the enemy. And it's in all the Doris. It's not just Amalek. I wanted to suggest something, that if Rashi is so makbid to say this at this point, and that nothing else is in his Zochay Sasha Salacha Amalek, I have a thought that it needs to be corroborated. You have to find some Pesach that says this. I'm not capable of saying that lahalocha, but I had a thought. Ulai, the din of Zohar includes this point. In other words, what do we have to remember by Amalek? So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, they discuss this at length. What exactly do we have to remember? Remember the Mishnah Berurah speaks about the Ramban and the question of whether we were Yotzei, like according to the Magen Avraham, in the parsha of Ayov Amalek from Bishalach. And he says it's not good enough, because according to the Ramban, what we need to remember is and these are the things that are our sinna and our eva, and that's what's important about Zohar and Loisishkach. So therefore, if we don't read the parsha of Kiseitze, we're missing many of the fundamental attitudes that we're supposed to have. So you see that the psukim speak about what you're supposed to remember. It's not enough to remember Amalek. It's necessary to remember details about Amalek. Maybe one of the points that Zohar comes to teach us is that our own failure in the integrity that Weights and Measures represents, and we'll get to that in a moment, that Weights and Measures isn't just Weights and Measures, it's a Hashkafas Olam, that this is really what can bring an Amalek at our heels. What do I mean by Weights and Measures being an example of a much larger principle? The emphasis is, if you look at the Biurei Hagra, we find something very remarkable. Let me point out to you something before we even say that. You will notice that I brought for you three separate places in Mishlei, and the Rabbeinu Yoina, not here, but in Perek Chof, makes this point, that there are three separate places in Mishlei which make this point about Moiznei Mirma, about Evan, which is not accurate, about false weights and measures. The first one is the one in our Pasuk, at the beginning, Moiznei Mirma to'avas Hashem, ve'Evan Shleima Ritzono. The next Pasuk is Perek Chof Pasuk Yud, Evan va'Evan, Eifa v'Eifa to'avas Hashem gam Shneim. The third pasuk is also in Perek Chof, pasuk Chof Gimel. Tayavas Hashem Evan va'Oven u'Moiznei Mirma Loi Toiv. On that, there are three different Biurei Hagra. When I say different, I mean obviously there are three different psukim. There are three different, but not three Biurei Hagra that make the same point. They make actually three different points. On the pasuk of Chof Chof Gimel, Toyavas Hashem, let's take a look at the Biur Hagra. Even though that's not the first Biur Hagra, and it's not the Biur Hagra in our Pasuk, but I wanted to make a point. And for that, we need this Biur Hagra. He writes, for Inyan, look at the fourth line. Ba'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, Ha'ovid Hashem, V'yesh Lo Beis Drachim. This person has two perspectives, two angles. Achas, in his heart, in his innards, he is full of iniquity. And in his heart there is treachery. When people are not watching, he does things that are not appropriate. Zehu to'avas Hashem. Then he goes into another arichus, which we'll do at another time. We already did it in Perik Dalid. But the ikar is this nekuda of the gra. What is the gra saying here? There are people who are fraudulent, but they're fraudulent in a very consistent kind of way. Their fraud is in a pattern. And that's different than somebody who occasionally gets a juk to make extra money or occasionally has a taiva. We spoke about that a lot. That nichnas by ruch shtus is a temporary thing. this person has a derech, shnei drachim, but it's derech. Derech means this is his want, this is his habit, this is who he is. A lot of people want to be perceived as Erlich Yidden. They want the structure of Yiddishkeit to embrace them. They want the people to embrace them as being committed to that structure. But they can't really resolve their typhus, and they can't really resolve their inherent negative nature. Now, you know, there's taiva koyach ha-tavoni and koyach ha-kaasoni. There's a taivas ha-mamon, there's a taivas ha-mishgol. There are many different taivas that a person has. Now, how does he contend with those inner instincts that are pushing hard? So one person, the tzaddik that's through and through, says, that's the tachlis of Avodas Hashem. And that is, of course, lo'olam yehei odom yirei shamayim. Now, you know, the Vilna Goyen's girsa over there is lo'olam yehei odom yirei shamayim baseiser. That's the point. That it's meloi chol ha'aretz kvoide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. It's that if I'm not consistent, then I'm not. Sheker has a miktsas emes, because miktsas emes itself is sheker. You can't be miktsas emes. You have to be kulay emes. Now, of course, sometimes a person falls. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. But the idea that a person falls is not a stira with his shashkofa. It's not a stira with his desire. It's not a stira with his orientation. This person has two drachim that we're talking about. He's inherently a stira. And because he's inherently a stira, even his derech leklape chutz, where he shows to people the chazer kosher fizzle, is treif. Because you can't be inconsistent in that way and be considered an Erlich HaYid. So everything falls apart. It's not that he's good on occasion, because he needs that public arena, the public sphere, and he's not good on other occasions when that public sphere is not around. L'ha'olam yehi odom yirei shamayim baseiser. We say baseiser uvagoli. And the Sfardim say baseiser kivagoli, which means it's baseiser, but they had a girsa bagoli, so they said kivagoli. The truth is that the emphasis there is on the baseiser, as the Goyin says. Yirei shamayim baseiser is an entirely different kind of avoda. But again, it's not just... The point that I want to make is that there are two perspectives on this. One of them is, you have to be yirei shamayim baseiser because there really is no such thing as seiser. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. Like the little ditty, the song says that the children sing. And they asked them, the Kotzker, I think they said, I'll give you a ruble or whatever it was if you tell me where Hashem is, when he was a little boy. And he says, I'll give you a ruble or two rubles, whatever the story was, if you tell me where he's not. Chafetz Chaim, with the orchard, with the apples, the driver gets off, he plucks the apples off the tree because the owner's not there. And the Chafetz Chaim starts screaming at him. He's looking, and he thinks that he's talking about the boss, and that the boss arrived, and he doesn't realize it, and the boss is looking, he's going to catch him, he's going to call the police, etc. Drops the apples, runs back in the wagon, and he tells the Chafetz Chaim, the story goes that he has eagle eyes, because he didn't know, he didn't see. He says he's always watching, because it's a capital H. It's who. And therefore, Rabbi Isai, you can look at this issue of lo'olam yehi odom yirei shamayim baseiser and say that the point of baseiser is there is never a baseiser. You might be away, miles away, or inches away, or in the dark, no one can see you. You might be away physically, you might be enclosed in your room, you might be what we call b'chadri chadorim, you know. Doesn't matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, that's enough. So you're always in public, ki'ilu, because you're always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yediyah. That's one perspective, but it's not the entire perspective. You know what the other perspective is? The person's a fraud. And fraudulence inherently is tayavas Hashem. And the truth of the matter is, such a thought can be very depressing, because everybody has to be yoyrid into his own conscience and ask himself if he's developed for himself two drachim. There are a lot of people that have problems with the internet. They're not going to go be mefarsim that they have problems with the internet, and they're not mefarsim that they look at the internet to other people. As far as other people are concerned, they don't have it, they have a filter, they don't look at it, whatever the case may be. But they do. and consistently. Some of them have very big taivas, and it isn't necessarily a taiva just for the erotic or for the pornography. It could be a taiva for a lot of other things. That if they were in public, if they were honest with themselves, bechlal does not fit into their hashkafas olam in the sense that if you ask them, is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you? You know, sometimes it could be just simply plain Beatles man. You ask the person, no. You're a Ben Tyre, he says, yeah, I'm a Ben Tyre. He says, you were learning for a lot of years, I was learning for a lot of years. So what are you doing now? So what is this all about? So some people delude themselves into thinking that they need it for their relaxation, but relaxation does not require hours and hours and hours every single night. So the whole idea of being two people, which the Goyen is talking about, requires an inherently fraudulent personality. Now, not only can you not defraud the Ribbono Shel Olam because he sees, but the Etzem Malchus, and this is the second point, and as far as I'm concerned, as critical as the first. The first one is an inyan of emuna. The second one is an inyan of your own midos. A fraudulent person is a fraudulent person. He's going to be fraudulent with his wife. He's going to be fraudulent. She'll be fraudulent with her husband. He's going to be, because it's a two-way street, Rabbi said. It's not just men. And he's going to be fraudulent with his children. A lot of people, they hide what they are because they don't want their children to see what they really are, because they want their children to grow up better than they. Now, Be'etzem, if they have no brera, that is not the wrong thing to do. There are some people that say, I have to be honest, and I am what I am, and I'm going to show my children that that's what I am. That is very krum. There's no chiyuv to teach your children to be like yourself if you are not beseder. There's no halacha that you're supposed to tell the children, I failed, and therefore you can fail also. Because the standard that you apply to the children is the standard that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects of you. So therefore, if there are things, it's like Yil Bashchayrim V'yasem Asheli B'chavetz Yelich L'mokam. You can't project the dishonesty and the lack of integrity and the lack of consistency to children and say, that's what I am and that's what human beings are all about. The Ribbono Shel Olam Mipi Elyon Leiseitz Arayz V'atoiv, everybody has a chiyuv to do tshuva and everybody has a chiyuv to be beseder, and if a person is not, it's better that he hides it from his children than there's megaleh to his children. I don't believe that there's an inyan to raise your children to be like yourself if the person himself is not beseder. On the other hand, people have developed a mahalach that it's okay for me to be what I am as long as my children are beseder. And that, of course, is a very treifa hasoka. That is a treifa hasoka. But the reason it's treifa is not just because he's doing things that are wrong in the time that he's doing them. It's because inherently a fraudulent personality is a mitzius of sheker, of fraud. And that's the nekuda that we learn from Loyeh Bekischa Evan V'Oven. What happens if I never ended up using it? I go to the marketplace and I have this opportunity to cheat and to swindle. The guy gave me such a gvaldika price that it wasn't necessary. Because whatever I thought I was going to gain by the false weight and measure that I had in my pocket, this person gave me bekiflayim as a matana. So of course, I wouldn't use it. Why should I? I gained financially without it. Now this person is a treifa person. This person is a fraudulent person. And memela, the etzem of being fraudulent, number one, it comes out in all kinds of places. The person in emes, you have to have an incredible consistency in a mesiras nefesh. Sheker is a very easy thing to fall into. And the idea of being a fraudulent person means that in the end, he doesn't know the boundaries bechlal. So whenever it'll be convenient for him, and sometimes even when it's not, he ends up saying the wrong thing, lying, cheating, and cheating. You could cheat the Ribbono Shel Olam, you could cheat your spouse, you could cheat your children, you can cheat yourself. There's no limit to what's called cheating. And memele, the whole idea of Loyeh Bekischa Evan V'Oven Tayavas Hashem is exactly as the Goyen says. There are certain people, sheyesh lehem shnei drachim lifneihem. And that is the Evan Gedol and the Evan Ktana, the false weights and measures of a Ramai. You know, we speak about Lavan HaArami. He is a Ramai. It's not just the Ramos that he does. So this is the Nakuda of a fraudulent personality. Now, I'm going to say something that I also have no makor to say, but I think I'm allowed to say it. Mishle uses the word Toyabas Hashem many, many times. But if you look at the Torah is much more restricted in the way it uses Toyabas Hashem. One of the things that the Torah calls Toyabas Hashem is well known today. This is a great battle that we are struggling in, the whole concept of family, the whole concept of marriage. The idea of something not only being permitted by society, but encouraged by society, respected by society, and if chas v'sholem anyone says anything against it, he's a Luddite, he's a Russia, he's inconsiderate, he's a terrible person, chas v'sholem, that I should impact or I should decide what the other person's choices will be in terms of partners, in terms of physical relations. I mean, that's private, my business. It's my business and my partner's business. What is it, your business? And the world has so turned this thing around that we are in the minority, and in the minority, at least in the modern liberal society. And also, we are in the wrong. It's our responsibility to explain ourselves. It's not enough that the Torah says it's a tayeva. I have a feeling that we ended up like this because we were not nizer in Toyavas Hashem, in the Midas of Mishkalos, in the fraudulent personality, in the person who cheats in business and swindles his partners and swindles others. There's an unbelievable blindness in our Halakha Kashra circles to this Nakuda. Chashiv Steyidin, the people who are Balei Tzedaka, where did they get the money? How did they make the money? How do they treat their workers? How do they treat their partners? How do they treat their competition? And to try to get the edge and try to do anything in your power, all is fair in love and war. And business is exactly that. All is fair in love and war. I have to increase my power and decrease your power. I have to increase my possessions and decrease your possessions. And any way that works is mutar. Any way that works is recommended. The only thing is I have to try to stay out of jail. But if I'm in jail, I have to be makbid on glat kosher, on a minyan, and the minyan might even be, you know, I might be makbid on the zman, you know. We should have a minyan that we should make zman kriya shman zman tefillah in jail. You know, so we make a petition to the warden that he shouldn't mess us up and bring us, you know, our yard duty or our peeling potatoes or whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing, that it shouldn't interfere with our Zmanei Tefillah. And on Shabbos, of course, there's nothing to talk about. Freedom of religion. So Chmamish turned the whole Torah upside down and inside out. But that is the essence of this Perek and the three separate times that it's mentioned, as the Rabbeinu Yonah says in Perek Chav in Mishlei. Let's go back to the first instance of the Bir Hagra. And we're going to have to spend a couple of sessions on it with all of the Makairis, and it's such a critical inyan and so important. And I wish that the whole world would hear this drasha. I hope that everybody that's listening to Kol HaLoshon, and we should take it to heart, because this Meizne Mirma Toavas Hashem, Ve'evin Shleima Ritzayne, Zisayde of Yiddishkeit, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the one that made the emphasis in relatively modern times is Rav Shamshon of Falhirsch, Yeshurun. We are called Yeshurun because we're supposed to be Yashar. And the Erlich Yid, the Yid that's Nizer in Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, as the prime directive of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael, and that is the ultimate source of Kiddush Hashem, this is something that's lost upon many of us. It's a tragedy. This concept of being frum or orthodox or chassidish or misnagdish, and the question is, what defines you? And the answer is your integrity. Whoever defined a frum Jew by his integrity? He's a shomer Shabbos. He's a kashrus. Where do you daven? What shtibul? What beis medrash? How much do you learn? That might define a person, but his integrity? Man dechar shmei. Whoever even talks about these things. As far as I'm concerned, the elementary school, kindergarten, and from kindergarten on, the ikka emphasis of Yiddishkeit should be the zehirus in somebody else's money. You know, I mentioned it the other day, that one of the great Bali Musar was suddenly very makbit to trim his nails, and they said, what? This is your preoccupation? You're such a tzaddik. I mean, where does it come to that kind of gashmias? He says he doesn't have money, so he borrows svarim, and he's terrified that he's going to cut one of the pages by accident with his fingernails. So he trims them down to such an extent that they're smooth and cut down so that they cannot turn the page and ruin the page and rip the page. I mean, he said that. So one of the Bali Musa screamed out, I think it was Rabbi Rucham, he says, you hear from this that this person was listening to the coil that came out of Har Sinai loy signoiv, loy sigzoil, loy signoiv, loy sikachashav, loy sishakarish bamisai, that the coil gadol of that Har Sinai is still ringing in his ears thousands of years later. But this is the nekuda of Musar. This is the nekuda of Musar. You have to be about Musar. You have to be somebody that's part of a movement. You have to like be, you know, somebody that, this is my thing. I am emphasizing this. This is my inyan. That's ridiculous. This is Yiddishkeit. This is maybe even the essence of Yiddishkeit. Maybe even the essence of Yiddishkeit. Because if a person is a fraud, he's a fraud across the board. That's the definition of a fraud. And it's not nichnas by rashtus. There's a consistent pattern of fraudulence. So if I'm a fraud, I'll defraud the Ribbono Shalom over and over again. So what's my Yiddishkeit bechlal? If a person cannot set up a standard of integrity and say, this is it, I have to answer to this, I cannot budge from this, I have to be consistent with this, that's Yiddishkeit. Nothing else is Yiddishkeit. There is no other Yiddishkeit. As far as I'm concerned, I know it's very harsh thing to say. A person who is basically fraudulent in all Ben Adam L'Chaveiros is worse than conservative and reform. Because conservative and reform, they separated themselves and they cut themselves off. And we know that they're not, that's not Yiddishkeit. But here, you might even imagine that it's Yiddishkeit. The facade is so strong. The facade is so much to our liking or so much to our recognition and acknowledgement. But it's like an apple that the outside looks gorgeous. You bite into it and it's full of worms. And you throw the apple on the ground and you start spitting and you feel dirty a whole day from that worm that was in your mouth that you chewed up. This is the rot of the person who's so fraudulent that his entire Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is disgusting. And the Ribbono Shel, I mean, Ki Toyavas Hashem, you know what it means to be Toyavas Hashem? But I find it remarkable that the same word is used by these other inyonim, and that we know is disgusting. But just like people in this world who are choshev people, haichafenster, people who think, liberals who are full of all kinds of ideas, they think it's perfectly wonderful and perfectly fine. There are plenty of anash, of anshei shleimenu, that think that what you do in business is off the radar screen. That's nobody's business except for themselves. And it's not even the Ribbono Shel's business. And that kind of an attitude is worse than conservative and reform. Because conservative and reform can no longer bring a chil Hashem. That's who they are, Nebuch. But these people are expected to be a certain way. And when they are not, that is chil Hashem. And chil Hashem, there's no... I mean, I don't have to talk about chil Hashem. It's the worst of the worst. So the pasuk says, "Ma'izne mirma to'avas Hashem ve'evin shleima ritzaynei." Zok de gra. Kesha adam oiver aveira. This is Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Aleph. In the Bir HaGra. On ma'izne mirma to'avas Hashem. Kesha adam oiver aveira. Let's look at it together, inside. Hu nita av l'Hashem. K'ma shekosuf ki kol ha'isa mikol ha'to'eva yisa'ela. V'lachein ma'izne mirma sha'isa maznayim she'e yochel l'ramas b'nei adam hu mitu'av l'Hashem. Ve'evin shleima ritzaynei ki adam she'eino isa avel hu eino mituav. Avel mikom akom eino mamali ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu bazeh. He says like this. If you use the maiznayim, then of course it's a big toyeva. But if you have the maiznayim, you're not beseder. Mikom akom eino mamali ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu bazeh. Ach mi she'etzlei evin kloima she'mukar tomid al evin shleima. Imagine the following case. Person has to buy his weights somewhere, and he doesn't have that much money, and he's lazy, he's tired, he's this, he's that. So, you know, he says like this, I have this weight, and it's not accurate. But you know what? I'm a very honest person. I would never in a million years conspire to charge a person based on his weights. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give everybody a discount. In the discount will already be included the differential between the weight as it should be and the weight that is, because my weight is false. And Mimela, I'll never hurt anybody. Falten gemeint, no, so what's the big deal? As long as he's consistent to his philosophy and he remains true to his commitment, he's okay. He never cheated a person in his life. In the end, the other person might even come out ahead. His customers might gain. So the Torah says, no. Lo yeh bekitzcha evan vavan. Lo yeh beveischa eifa v'eifa. That's what he says. If he doesn't use it, even b'yosha she'enakem in adomim, she'lefiya yosha nira she'rashoy lasos came, because who does it hurt? So I'll use this measure until I finally go out and buy the correct one. I think a person could make such a cheshbon and think that he's perfectly fine. And maybe, rationally, maybe he is fine. Maybe. The Torah was so makbid, it says, you can't even have it in your house. It's like, al tashkin ba'alecha afla. So he says, kishu eino yosekein zil ritzonish al-Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you take off and give the person a discount, you're not allowed to do it. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is you should not have a false measure in your possession. And then he goes into an arichus of how you understand that from the Gemara and what is the proper girsa in the Gemara. And then he quotes the oid, Moizne mirma to'avas Hashem hu ameka la'atzma yumachmir la'achar. He says another pshat is this: a person who, again, this is such an unbelievably subtle level of fraudulence. Person goes around telling everybody, you know, this chumrah, that chumrah, and when it comes to his own hanhaga, when nobody's looking, he's not doing anything usr, but he's makel. The same thing, perhaps, that he's machmer for others, he's makel for himself. So the chmam is a rosh ha'arum, as the Gemara in Saita calls him. Oy ha'isa kekule beishama kekule beishilo. Shu rosh ha'vutavas Hashem. This Nakuda, by the way, that the Goyin is about to say, is consistent in the Gra over and over again. It's like together, Al Tehit Tzadik Harbe. You have to do what's right. You're not supposed to go overboard. Overboard is also not Ritzoinai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when do you say you're Machmir and it's good, and when do you say you're going overboard is a subtlety. And it's complicated, and you need a Rebbe for that. But the derech itself of always being machmir, 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 is not the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. And then he says, the last words, afilu kechumrei beis hilul, chumrei beis shamay huksil, ve'ein ze ritzonai, it's not the Rebbeinu Shlom's ritzon, he says, elo sheyalech b'shleimus. The truth of the matter is that shleimus has the benefit of shleimus. There's such a fundamental yesod, a normalo mensch. Normal is an avoida kosher shebemikdash, to be normal. And the yesod of normal is not to be fraudulent, and not to be excessive, and not to be minimalistic. The kav. And this is a very, very big avoida, to avoid those three levels. The person who's echad bepev, echad balev, the person who's this way for people and this way for himself, that fraudulent personality, and also the person who's always mekil, and also the person who's always machmir. This is the Evan Shlema. By the way, you know that Evan Shlema is Rashi Tevois. Aleph is Eliyahu. Ben, that's Evan. Shlema is Shlema. Eliyahu ben Shlema is, of course, the Vilna Gaon. Now, we have a very important agenda here. The Rabbeinu Yoina. The Rabbeinu Yoina says, "Moizne mirma to avas Hashem." The Rabbeinu Yoina was very concerned. There are some things that are in Mishlei with a knach, with a certain chiddush, and some things you might not see the chiddush, but at least it's an expression in its own way unique. Even in the expression of it, he asks here, what is it exactly that Shlomo HaMelech is adding to the Torah? I mean, it's not like Shlomo HaMelech is quoting Psukim. It's not like Shlomo HaMelech is interested in repeating what it already says in Parshas Kisaitse. So what is it exactly that draws Shlomo HaMelech here to repeat what ostensibly looks like he's repeating the Torah? This is what he asks. V'tzorech ato levakish tam al ma huskak shloimoi olav ha-shalom laza v'lichtoiv zeh, which is written in the Torah l'yibik hislaki so avas Hashem. Even the to'avas Hashem is mentioned in the Torah. So what did he add? V'lichtoiv zeh b'loi tosefes bir v'avonas tam. Gam ki ha-mikroi sa'el esedurim b'inyonei ha-midois v'loi b'frat ma'isim y'maisa averis. He says, a very interesting thing, the Rabbeinu Yonah. Of course, here he uses the word midos, not in the sense of weights and measures, otherwise you'll get very confused. He says, what is Mishlei about? It's about midos. What are midos? Midos toivos, and midos rois. It's about nature, personality, attitudes, feelings, yetzahara, yetzatoiv. It's not about don't eat chazer. It's not about don't have false weights and measures. It's not about mitzvahs and averas. It's not a shulchan aruch. It's a Shulchan Aruch of Midas, but it's not a Shulchan Aruch of do's and don'ts. So if that's the case, it Bechlal doesn't seem to belong here. So he's asking two questions. Number one, what's it here altogether? And if it's here already, give us a Chiddush. Zakta, he connects this to the last words of Perek Yud. Pi Rishoyim Ta'apuchos. So he said, Ata Tire Ki Nosav HaGvul Le'inyan pirushayim tapuches uba shloima levasholim lasis myface alamida he kihisnua. He wants to give us the example. The gam lo yitim lo yosef masha rosha machria al tainas hasheker bi yos riv beino anoshim kagoyin sheeno rosha shayfet beinoisam ve'ein biyoda lahatzul oshuk miyad oishkai uba ha'ois v'hamayface kimidas hachroas hasheker to avas Hashem. He says something very similar to the fraudulent personality, which the Goyen said that the Iker Pasuk is emphasizing that even if you don't overcharge, you're not allowed to have that false weight and measure bechlal. Because honesty and integrity has to go that far that you cannot even possess something that's false, that could be used in a false way. The Rabbeinu Yonah says exactly the same thing. He says, what happens if you have a person who is machriya lekaf choiva when he should have been machriya lekaf schos? But he's not a dayan. He's tam. He reads something in the newspaper and he decides that this he should have done it this way and he would have gotten away with it or something like that. Somebody bechlau, that his mahalach is sheker, but the sheker does not lead to any practical consequence. So is that so terrible? It's all up in the air anyhow. It's all fantasia. It's all theoretical. What difference does it make? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says it's exactly what he wants to say. Pi Rishoyim Tapuches is the etzem idea that you have this fraudulent personality. It in itself is the yesod of what it is that's wrong with you and what makes you a Rasha. Zokta, as follows. Vafilu, he brings the example, Be'inyan Moizne Mirma Shem Tu'avas Hashem Kakosu Batoira. Even if it was never used, but it's in the pocket or in the house. Avru es pi Hashem posh amr chazal ki loy nichtavo azharas hamishkolos rak lavar aleihem bishas hamaisa shekvar nisparish isur hagezel v'hoino. The Torah already told you not allowed to steal. If you use a false weight and measure and charge the person falsely, you're ganav. You're a ganav and a gazlan. So the Torah says the pasuk is being moisiv that you didn't charge him falsely because you gave him a discount or whatever. But af al pi kein, you're not allowed to have the false weight and measure b'chla. Uvi'im moizne mirma yane yosem muchonos la'achriya b'mirba heim to'avas Hashem. Af al pi shalai honu ba'aleim bohem, even if they didn't end up cheating anybody, but just the fact that they're available, muchonos, they're ready in his pocket. Kol shkein ha'margul sfos of la'achriya al sheker va'af, I bolded this to make the point clear that the Rabbeinu Yonah says va'af ki lo hiziku me'uma. It's just theoretical, it's not relevant. He's not the shofet, he's not the one who can save the innocent. Anyhow, kihem snuois. And that's what he says. Now, ad kan, that even in theory, but he says there's no such thing as even in theory. And I think that's a very big limud also. He writes, Kihem snuois kihine heima muchanois behergel ahu Lazarus hasheker b'mokam shetechazakna yideoise hasheker be'ezras divrei orosha. The support of a person. I tell you something. Chazal say that one litzanus is doicha an almost infinite number of toichachas. One litzanus could be doicha mea toichachas. What's the pshat? The pshat is that that sneer, he didn't even say anything. He just made some sarcastic remark. He made a sneer. He doesn't say, do the aveira. He doesn't say, ignore the person. But he just makes a sarcastic remark. That remark is asher korcha baderech, by the way. That's asher korcha baderech. There's a certain attitude that a person has when he has false weights and measures in his pocket, even if he never ended up using them. But the very fact that there's a possibility to use them, the very fact that he carries it around with him, and that corruption is going to end up supporting evil. He's going to end up corroborating sheker. He's going to end up in a certain kind of lemaisa, which isn't the lemaisa of stealing from his store of his customers, but it encourages chait. It creates a shadow on the world, a cloud that descends on the purity of the world. You know, just like there was a town that they never ever said anything that wasn't true, even if it was detrimental to them. And the moment that somebody said, you know, where is your wife? And he said this, that, or whatever, and it wasn't the truth because she was going to the mikvahs. But you can't talk about going to the mikvah. But afal pi kein. And all of a sudden people started dying. There should be one place in the world where only emes prevails. It's the same thing. Yiddishkeit demands the kind of integrity that does not allow you to even possess the false weights and measures. The person's not allowed to have a havamina. The person's not allowed to have the potential in his pocket. Ad kidei kach. So you'll say, because it's kind of like a zehirus yisera. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know what, let's be practical. Such a person is never going to be able to protect the integrity of others, never going to be able to fight for emes, because he has already subscribed to sheker. He's a little bit sold his soul to the devil. Why are you keeping this in your pocket? V'tirpena yedei hazakai, and in the end, the person who's innocent will suffer b'achroas pitapuchos. V'yashlid hahergel b'leivu b'sfosayim. Person becomes inherently corrupt. K'ahergel ha'kol dover shultayim, because doing something over and over again, having those coins in your pocket, those measures, those weights, is eventually going to corroborate a fraudulent personality. You know, it's a very interesting thing. The Gemara tells us that Chia was the son of Rav, this particular Chia. And Rav had a wife that Nebuch was not beseder, and she always made her husband tzaras. And one of the things she did, she must have enjoyed it, I don't know, it was a kind of like, it sounds to me like a sadistic thing to do, but maybe there was something there that she wanted to declare her independence of her husband, and I don't know, the Gemara doesn't say. But the Gemara just says that Rav had a wife that whenever he asked for chicken soup, he gave a vegetable soup, etc., etc. Bean soup, this soup, that soup. Finally, Chia decided, he sees that every time he asks for vegetable soup, he gets chicken soup. Every time he asks for chicken soup, he gets vegetable soup. So he would become the intermediary, and he would tell his mother that Tati wants today chicken soup. Could you please make it for him? But really what he wanted was vegetable soup. And guess what she made? Because if he's going to ask for chicken soup, which is what she thought, because that's what Chia said. But the truth was that he wanted vegetable soup, and that's exactly what he got. And after a couple of times, Chia encounters his father. His father's big smile on his face, Keilu, and he says, "You know, Baruch Hashem, she's changed." So Chia had no choice but to admit that he was the one that made her change, and not because she changed inherently, but because he was mahapich the lashinas, and he actually asked for chicken soup in order that she should make vegetable soup, which is what Rav wanted. So Rav first gave a compliment. He says, "You know, I could have done that myself. The youngsters are smarter than the older ones." But then he said, "But you, don't you ever do that again. And he quotes the pasuk, Limdu lishonam daber sheker ha'ave nilu. And the Mefarshim ask, why doesn't he quote the pasuk, Midvar sheker tirchak? And the answer is, Midvar sheker tirchak is when you're doing something that's fraudulent and it's also to do, such as in Bezdin and so on, when Edom speak falsely. Midvar sheker tirchak b'kitzim means that inherently what you're doing is totally wrong. Here what he's doing is right. It's a kibbutz, it's a shalom bayis. What's the problem then? Why can't I? Isn't it Mishanim Ipnei Darkei Shalom? The answer is that even in Mishanim Ipnei Darkei Shalom, you cannot develop a pattern. You cannot make it part of your Derech HaChayim. Again, because it creates a fraudulent personality. And that's Limdu Lishonim. Limdu means to train. He's training his tongue to speak Sheker. It's very different than Midvar Sheker. Midvar Sheker Tuchok, you cannot be Shami Besilu, Ketzad Meratum Snei Akalim. With a sheker tichuk, you could say, you know what, there are times that you're entitled to say a sheker. But you can't say it over and over and over again. He doesn't want Chia to do this with his mother anymore, even if he in the end has to suffer with the vegetables and the chicken soup. Because you cannot train yourself to speak sheker, because even if it's for the most ideal and most wonderful reasons, but once it becomes nature and second nature, as he says, Ki hergel al kol davar shilton, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, it is the master. If you get into a habit, it's almost impossible to break. Chen ksiv limdu lishonam, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Hay oimrim la ra toiv la toiv ra doesn't mean once. They define things that way. And that's why it's such a terrible thing. So what we learn from the Rabbeinu Yonah here is exactly this nekuda. Now, in the Rabbeinu Yonah in Perek Chav Pasuk Yud, he says the same thing. The second line, Baha Kosov Lalamid Shu'ever Olav Mishas Asiya, just having the Mishkolis, making the Mishkolis, Afal Pishloi Nimdat Bahem, V'loi Hoina Bahem, even if he never ever used it to measure, and he never cheated anybody. Valkein Huva Ha'inyan Kan, L'fisha Diber L'mala Al Schus Halev. Again, he says the same thing. He says, people are corrupted in the heart. And it doesn't require that they should actually be menakoyach el apoyel, because the very fact that it's in the heart creates midos rois. And he says it very clearly. And of course, you know the Rabbeinu Yonah was the master psychologist. V'alkein huva bekano inyan hazeh lefi shedibur lemala al schus halev. V'nehevi moifes. Moifes means an example. Ki halev asher boi hamidos rois ein l'shem chefetz boi. Hashem not interested in such a heart. Ki hu nochein lemaya de regel ba'alov. Because the lave is the same person. The lave inside the person is going to trip up the person's feet. What does he mean? He means that with such a corrupt lave, it's impossible to do things right. It's eventually going to get to him. He says, Midos are goyrem all the chatoim. Ki inyan shekosu pen yesh b'chem isho isho shorish poire roish v'lano. V'ina yit av Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds contemptuous, ha'isha shebiyodai oven, the aveira of evan v'oven harois, af al pi shaloi chata bohen, v'pnei shemizumenes lahach shulachti, v'lo yitochein sheyitoher mechatos imohem. He says, because sooner or later he's going to end up using them, because the heart corrupts the maisa. V'ashenis, ki evan v'oven to avas Hashem, because, you know, we say very glibly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Machshava Ra, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzar Pala Maisa, as if to say, well, so that's not so terrible what we think, as long as we don't act upon it. What we think is awful. It's awful. And the emphasis is, I was thinking about it, the person is married. His wife, I speak about men because we are men. If I would be speaking to the Ezra's Noshim, I would be speaking in the opposite direction. This isn't a one-way street, Rabbi say. Bechlal. And the mirroring is almost exactly the same. Each one has their inyonim, but the mirroring is almost exactly the same about the point itself. So you have a person who is upset about something. He's not interested in hurting his wife's feelings. He may not be interested in upsetting the apple cart of interfering with the Shalom Bayis. He may be even afraid of the consequences. He'll mention something, there'll be World War III. But he goes around in his heart feeling all kinds of thoughts. And he's muttering. Muttering is a simon that the person's lev is not at peace. And that is not ever going to be the last word. There's never such a thing as thinking something v'su loy midi. You know why? Because number one, all these feelings accumulate. And one day there's going to be an outburst. It's not going to be for that inyan alone. It'll be for the accumulation of all those feelings. That's number one. Number two, when a person has to think positively and he wants to be machriya l'kaf schus, he can't have a bad memory. He can't have, I don't mean a bad memory, he doesn't remember. That's the best. He can't have a memory of bad things. Because when he does, it interferes with the ability to be machriya l'kaf schus. That's number two. Number three, looks can kill. And people pick up, because they're not machriya l'kaf schus perhaps, but the bottom line is that they do. They pick up these kind of subtleties. They pick up the turn of the nose. They pick up the look. Even when it's not there, they pick it up. Kal v'chaymer when it's real. You know, somebody can be looking at the stars and they say, you know, somebody could complain to them, why do you have that look on your face? What's wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that you are looking at the stars? I'm just looking at the stars. The nakuda is that when a person has bad feelings in his heart, it's going to be on his nose whether he likes it or not. It takes an unbelievable actor to be able to fool the other person into thinking positively, because they're inclined l'chatchila most of the time not to think positively. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't have to fight so hard to be done as kol adam l'kaf schus. And of course, I always say, the Rambam says, and Chazal say, that one of the chiyuvim of a husband to his wife, oyav lo kegufa, says, that's v'haftu l'acha kamecha. So some say that it's much harder to do v'haftu l'acha kamecha when you live with somebody 24-7. And that's what it says, that even that person is v'haftu l'acha kamecha. So ayishtoi kegufa, ba'al ki ishtoi, just the same. Because feelings and attitudes are inside the person. They're like burrowing animals, like worms that carve their way into the heart and memela end up doing the pu'ulos that a person does. And he may not even realize that one is goyrim the other. But that's exactly what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. And finally, for today, in the Halacha L'maisa, Tosfos and Kedushin, Matzino Meira b'Mishkalos are coming full circle to the inyan of Amalek. Matzino Meira b'Mishkalos k'daminim b'medrash zochets ha'shasul ha'Amalek v'ato oyev yogeya v'lo yirei elikim haynu b'shvil ha'Mishkalos. You know what we're saying over here? The whole inyan of Amalek, I'll tell you, it's a remarkable thing. We speak of Amalek asher korcha baderech ato oyev yogeya v'lo yirei elikim. Where was the evidence that they were not Yirei Shamayim? Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Zochei Zashar Solcha Amalek. I don't even know when they had time to be like that. Hainu b'shvil ha-mishkolis v'al oven zeh bo'amalek. The boss are parshas mishkolis k'siv zochei Zashar Solcha Amalek b'parshas kiseitze. As Rashi says, v'ayru d'ch'siv b'mishlei moiznei mimra to'avas Hashem v'evin shleimu ritzaynoi v'samich lei Rashi went even further, because Rashi says the enemy bechlal, so it's not just then, it's in the future as well. We need such incredible protection. You talk about Iran and you talk about Syria, you know, this business in Syria with the Alawites. Lamaisa, you can't win. It's the same thing with Egypt. You had a tyrant in Egypt. He was Taka, Chayarah, Russia, Marusha, about Taiva, who was only interested in himself. Mubarak. It's the truth. And the country was mamish. He couldn't care less if everybody was bitterly poor. Now, is it going to be better today? I don't know. But one thing is clear, that when he was in charge, the bully that he was, he kept things under wraps, and because he wanted to be good with America, because they gave him weapons, they gave him tons of money, etc., etc. So he was masking that the status quo of being at peace with Israel is worthwhile. A friend of Israel, he was like a shed. But the fact of the matter is that he is no longer, and now the fear of that part of Eretz Yisrael, which was relatively peaceful and relatively secure, is now all of a sudden up for grabs in a certain measure. Syria, this guy, Assad, Russia Marusha Shain Kamayu. There's no question about it. And the people who are fighting him, not everybody's fighting L'Shem Shamayim, in quotation marks, because a lot of people are not fighting him because he's corrupt, or because he's this, or because he's that, but because he's an infidel, because he's an Alawite. And the Alawites don't even keep Ramadan. Could you imagine? So how do I have... And they're running the country, and the majority of the country is Sunni. So very nice, the majority of the country is Sunni. So voting him, and also he's a friend of Iran, and Iran has a base there, it has Hezbollah, and maybe if he falls, Hezbollah will fall, Iran will not have the influence. It sounds so nice and so wonderful. But meanwhile, the fundamentalist Shabaham amongst the Sunnis, they want to wipe out the Alawites, and then they want to establish a religious government according to the Sharia. And right now, the government of Syria was one of the more secular governments, and that suited Israel just fine. The world is in such an unbelievable state of flux. In Turkey itself, there's an Alawite community that's now scared out of their wits. Mazegetis, Arumen, Arumen. Iraq, is it a lot better now? Because it's not Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein, these pragmatic dictators, he didn't even have weapons of massive destruction. Now you can have people who decide that they will have weapons of massive destruction. Pakistan and everybody, Lamaisa, the Untish Teshura Rabbi say is that we cannot possibly imagine that we are in a secure situation. Could have as many atom bombs, Rahman al-Itzlan, and the Ben Shalom should protect us and save us. This is not the Mahalach. So what is the Mahalach? If the enemy is at the gate, which it is, what is the Mahalach? The answer is La'yir B'kitzcha Evan V'Avan. That's the Mahalach. Rabbi say, we should be Zoicha to learn this lesson, B'frat u'B'chlal. And where do you start? Can we change the world? I don't know. But we start with ourselves. There's so many different ways in which we could become fraudulent, in which we are, Rachmana Litzlan, fraudulent, which we can fix before it's too late. And especially in those areas which create a Kiddush Hashem, and the opposite creates a Chilul Hashem, in the Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, the fact that L'Yib B'Kisra Evan V'Oven Kiso Abbas Hashem, and right after that is Zoches Hashem Solucha HaMolek, is so frightening that we should, that for that reason alone, not to mention the Chilul Hashem Shabbai, not to mention the fraudulent personalities, inherently fraudulent, Mamela, it's going to infect everything that he does. And on and on and on, all the things we learned today. But for that alone, to prevent Asher Asulucha Molek Rachman Litzlan, the integrity of Klal Yisrael has to be redeemed, and we have to be super, super careful in our Bein Odom L'Chaveru in general, and our Midas and Mishkales, so to speak, our financial incentives to do somebody harm and to defraud him and to fool him into doing our bidding and our will, which is part and parcel of almost every business in one way or another. A yid has to be completely different. A person has to say by a yid, not watch your pocket because you may be picked, because a yid is walking by. But rather, a yid is walking by, I can leave everything out in the open, because never, ever is it possible that he could even take a penny. When it becomes that Yisrael, Shebechos, Pa'ar, then we know we're guaranteed that an Amalek will not come to our gates. We should be Zaycha to learn this lesson.